Good morning. What a beautiful day the Lord has given us as we can come together and worship Him. We ought to be thankful for those things and what Tim has done this morning. The songs goes right along with our lesson. If you will, turn to Psalms 100. We're going to use Psalms 100 as a basis for our study today. And I'm going to read from that psalm in just a moment if you want to be turning there where you can read along with me. We're glad to have you here today, those of you that are with us in the building here today and those that are online. We're delighted that you have taken the time to be with us and to worship with us today. And hopefully as we study from God's Word, we can be more acquainted with what He would have us to do and be more willing to do those things that God wants us to do and more anxious to be a servant of His. Now, if you have your Bible open, let's read beginning in verse 1 of Psalms 100, and I'm reading from the King James Version this morning. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pastures. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Amen. What a psalm, and the things that are said there, and it gives us the idea. And our lesson we're talking about today that I have taken from this passage is, serve the Lord with gladness, not worry. And so that's what we'll be dealing with today, is to serve the Lord with gladness. And so that's what this psalm says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That sounds like people that are happy. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. All this shows happiness and joy in our lives. And I think that's what the Lord wants us to be, is Christians that are full of joy and happiness, that we can show this light to other people, and other people want to be what we are and be a part of what we are and what we're serving. So often we in our mad rush to accomplish all the things that we commit ourselves to do, and you know we're always committing ourselves to do things, and all of us have overcommitted ourselves at one time or another and had more than we could really get to, and it kind of gets us down sometime when we do. We find ourselves sometime less than jolly. We're not happy like we ought to be, like the Lord wants us to be. We become so burdened with the things that we have committed ourselves to do, and many of those things that we've committed ourselves to do are not really things that we have to do, not really things that are worth a lot. Sometimes we even find ourselves tired, run down, and worrying. And we don't need to be worrying. And that's what the Lord, and that's what we're going to be talking about in our lesson today. Much of what we worry about never comes to pass. And what does come to pass most of the time is not nearly as bad as we imagined that it would be. You know, we think about things and it's always the worst scenario that we're thinking about. Somebody that's sick and are not feeling well, and we think, well, this has got to be COVID, or it's got to be cancer, it's got to be some disease that's dreaded, and when it may not be anything at all much. And so we worry about so many things that we ought not to worry about. A lot of what we worry about is something we can do nothing about anyway. And so if it's something we can't do anything about, why do we worry? You know, God is the one that can take control and do the things that need to be done. The Lord wants us to be happy and to rely on Him for what we cannot do and what we need help with. Now think about that for a moment. What we cannot do ourselves, God wants us to rely upon Him and to realize that it is He that the strength comes from. And He wants us to be, when we need help with something, He wants to be the one that is the helper. If you go back to the Old Testament and back in the days when Israel was the people of God and they went away from God, often they would have problems, and instead of turning to God for their help, they would turn to another nation or a strong army or something of this nature. And God did not like that. And He punished His people because they turned away from Him and did not turn to Him for the things that they needed. He doesn't want us to worry, but to realize that He is always near and He's always there present. And Psalms chapter 46 and verse 1 says He is a very present help in time of trouble. What would we do without God being on our side? What would we do without being able to pray to Him and to serve Him? I hope that you pray to God daily, more than one time, that you pray often unto Him. and that he realizes that we need him, and we really appreciate him for what he does for us. Mark Twain made a statement. He said, "I've had a lot of trouble in my life, most of which never happened." And that's about the way it is with us. You know, we have a lot of trouble in our life. We worry about things that really never happen. And so that's one good statement there. Many people cannot enjoy being a Christian for worrying about their failure to do something right. You know, in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in the 6th verse, read with me there if you will. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, he says, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace be with you. And so God is with us in the things that we do, and he does not want us to worry. And here he says, be anxious for nothing. If you look up that word anxious in the Webster's dictionary, it defines it something like this: having or showing anxiety, uneasy in mind, apprehensive, worried, causing or full of anxiety, eagerly wishing. So here is what anxiety is. He does not want us to be anxious. He says, but with prayer and supplication. Now that word supplication means to kneel down and to humbly beg. So that's what we do. How many times do we do that? If we have a person, maybe a loved one that's sick, how many times do we bow down, kneel down before God and beg him to help that person that is sick or someone that's in trouble? And so this is what God wants. He does not want us to worry. He wants us to turn our worries over to him and to realize that he is there with us. And from prayer and supplication and thinking on these things that he's talking about here, whatever things are true and noble and just and pure, holy, lovely, good report, all these things are the things that we're to think on instead of thinking on things that are bad that would cause us to worry. Again from Matthew, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 and 25, it says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing?" And isn't this what we worry about so much? But what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Where are we going to live? What are we going to wear? All these kind of things that are not all that important to us. God says that we're not to worry about these. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink or your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Yes, it is. And God wants us to realize that it is more than that. This is not to say that we should not try to do our best. We try to serve God in the best way we know how all the time. And we have so many parables in the Bible that shows that. Parable of the servants that the master was going away, and he gave the talents to, one to five, and another two, and another one. And you remember the one that had the five talents? He went and worked hard and did his best, and he gained five others. The one that had the two, he did the same. He went and worked hard, did his best, and gained two other talents. But the one that had the one went and buried his in the ground and didn't try, and the Lord was not pleased with that. So God expects us to do the best that we can do. But when we do our best, we should do what we can and do the best. But then after we do our best, then we ought to put a smile on our face and not worry. We ought to be happy and let the world know that we're happy to be a Christian and to let our light shine. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So this is the way that we let our light shine, is by doing what we're supposed to do. We not only tell people what the Bible says to do, but we do that thing. We practice that before them. So we should do the best we can. But then after we've done the best that we can, then smile and put a smile on our face and be happy and let the world know that we're happy to be a Christian. Don't let the world think that it is some kind of an awful burden to serve the Lord. It is a joy. It is a happiness. It's great to be able to serve a God like we do. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul made a statement to the Galatians, and he said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So here's all the works of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, is joy, is peace, is love, is long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. These are the things that we need to think on. These are the things that we need to be practicing. We don't need to be worrying about other things of the world, but we need to be practicing those things that are true. God wants us to serve Him with gladness. Now, again, let's read that psalm that we read a while ago. I think it's worthy of reading more than once this morning. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pastures. Enter into His gate with thanksgiving. So when we come before the Lord to worship Him, we're entering into His gate, and we're to enter into it with thanksgiving. That's what He wants us to do. And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. Amen. That is something that we need to be doing all the time. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. We need to realize that God was not just the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but God is the God of Tim and of Bobby and of Don and of all of us. That God is our God, just like He was the God of Isaac and Jacob and all those of old that we study about. So God wants us to serve Him with gladness and not with worry. One thing that makes us happy is the evidence of pardon. You know, Jesus came into the world with a purpose in mind. Luke 19:10 says He came to seek and to save those that were lost. He came to do the will of God, and that's what he did was the will of God. All the things that God intended for Him to do, He performed while He was here on the earth. And one of those things that He did was to make it possible that man could have his sins forgiven. The pardon of sin. Now, when we think about that, that ought to make us the happiest people in the world. That even though I may have sinned and made a mistake and did something that's wrong, that if I repent of those things and do what God tells me to, that those sins can be pardoned. And that means that they can be wiped away clean, never remembered again. What an honor. What a privilege. Under the Old Testament, they did not feel that clear conscience and clean conscience as we do when we do what God tells us to do. And we'll have more to say about this as we get on down further into our lesson. The Word of God gives us this evidence that we have that pardon. And we know that Jesus told His apostles to go into the world and to make disciples of all nations and to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and that they would receive the gift of God. And also in Acts chapter 2, remember when Peter was talking to the people that had crucified and slain the only begotten Son of God. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." In Acts 2 and verse 47, it says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were being saved." So the Bible gives us this assurance of that pardon that we can have, the pardon of our sins. If we do what God tells us to do, then our sins can be forgiven, wiped away, clean, no longer to be remembered. And what an honor that is. That ought to make us glad, and we ought to serve God with gladness because He has made that provision for us. God, who cannot lie, promised pardon to the obedient. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began." So God made the promise that the obedient, those that are obedient to Him, that they would have their sins forgiven. And I believe that because God said it, and it is the truth of the Almighty God. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. We've never seen the Lord, but I believe he exists because there's so much evidence there that shows that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so I believe this because the Bible is full of things that shows us that God does exist. Not only that, but even the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. And so God is, and the Bible shows that he is, and all the things that he created also shows that he is the Father, the Almighty God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So if I want faith, then I need to study God's Word. Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6 and verse 11, it shows without faith it's impossible to please him, for we must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Paul made a statement in talking to the Roman brethren in chapter 8 and verse 16. He says, "The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." And what's he talking about in this statement? The Spirit there, the one that he talks about first, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How is this done? The Holy Spirit directed the apostles in the writing of the Bible. And so when we have the Bible, we go back to it, and this is the words of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit tells us through the inspiration of God what we're to do in order to have our sins forgiven. And so when we do that, then our spirit bears witness with the Spirit of God that we are the children of God. And so this is something that gives us that assurance and causes us to be glad instead of to be sad. Because I can look back to the Bible and see what the Bible says. And if I'm doing what the Bible tells me to do, then I am a child of God. I am the servant of God, the son of God, and am pleasing in the sight of God. So let me ask you a question then with this in mind. Can your spirit say, "I am a Christian because you did what the Bible told you to do to become a Christian"? That's the way we can know if we're really a Christian or not. To go back and see what the Bible said, what the Spirit told us to do to become a Christian. And if we have done that, then yes, we are a Christian and we ought to be happy. We ought not to be sad or worried. But if we read back and we've not done what the Spirit told us to do, then we're not a child of God. We're not a Christian, even though we may do a lot of good things. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." And so if I look back to the Bible, and I read in the Bible what it says, and it tells me that I am to be baptized for the remission of my sins, then I know that if I have done that, then I'm a Christian as God told me to be. I read a story. I was reading a book here recently, and it was a story about a missionary. I think the missionary was maybe a Methodist preacher. And he went to the Indian reservation and spent some time with the Indians. And some of the Indians had learned how to read and how to speak English. And so he gave one of the older Indians a Bible and told him to read that Bible, and he'd be back in a year, and they'd discuss what he had read from the Bible. Well, it was true. A year later, the missionary came back. Then he found the older Indian that he'd given the Bible to. And he said, "Well, did you read the Bible?" He said, "Yes, I did." He said, "Well, what did you find?" He said, "I found out I need to be baptized for the remission of my sins." And so the minister got ready, went into the tent. He set up a bowl of water in the tent and had the Indian to come in. The old Indian said, "What are you going to do with that?" He said, "I'm going to baptize you." "In that bowl of water? How are you going to put me down in that bowl and bury me in that bowl?" He said, that's what the Bible says. And the minister began to try to explain it away. He said, "Well, evidently you gave me the wrong Bible." He had read from the Bible and learned what he ought to do. So that's what I'm talking about. When we read back to the Bible and our spirit bears witness with the Spirit of God, then it tells us that we are a child of God. Now let me ask you another question. Can your spirit say that you are living as a Christian because you're doing what the Spirit of God told you to do as a Christian? So, am I living as a Christian? Sometimes we worry about whether we're living as a Christian, whether we're doing what we ought to do or not. Well, we can know the Bible. We'll go back and check what the Spirit says. And if I'm doing what the Spirit tells me to do as a Christian, then yes, I am living the Christian life. I'm a Christian as the Bible wants me to be. If so, then if the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are a Christian, that we're living the Christian life, then we need to be happy and not worried. We need to have a smile on our face and show the world that we are serving God in the right way. There are several different things that will help us to realize and help us to be a part of, want to be a part of, that serving God in the right way and in a happy way instead of being sad. The security of Christ helps to serve with gladness. And so the security in Christ, I should say, the security in Him, being in Him, helps us to serve in the right way. Turn back in the book of Matthew, all the way back to almost the beginning, back in chapter 6 of the book of Matthew. And let's read beginning in verse 9 and go down through verse 13. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And he goes on to say in the next verse or so, if you forgive not men their trespasses, God will not forgive you. If you forgive men their trespasses, God will forgive you your trespasses. So the security in Christ and prayer, praying unto God, helps us to be what we ought to be. There is security in prayer, as we said. And Jesus went to the problem of trying to teach his disciples how to pray and the way that they ought to pray. God does not tempt us. In James chapter 1 and verse 13, we're taught that God cannot be tempted of sin, neither tempteth he any man. So if we're tempted, we're not to say that God has tempted us. God does not tempt us. But he does help us to find a way to escape temptation when the devil sends the temptations to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, he said, There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will also with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. And so God does not tempt us. Now, he does allow us to be tested to see if we're really the Christian that we ought to be, but he does not tempt us to sin. And so when we're tempted, we're tempted of the devil. But the Lord says, I'll help you to find a way to escape if you want to escape. And we know that's true because back in Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus was tempted of the devil, three times he went back to the scripture to ward off the devil and the temptations that was there. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life was tested upon Christ just like it is us day by day. But he used the word of God to show that the devil was wrong in what he was doing. Prayer to God keeps us from worrying. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, I think we noticed this before, but we're going to notice it again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. As we said, supplication means to kneel down and humbly beg. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so when this praying unto God will help us keep from worrying about things. Now let's notice a comparison here. When we were children, we didn't worry. We made our request to our parents, and we knew that when we made our request to our parents that they were going to supply everything that we needed. Now, not necessarily everything that we wanted. We might want some things that was not best for us, and the parents might say, no, you don't need that. But the things that we needed, we knew that they would supply. So when we told them what we needed, we didn't worry about it. We went on about our joy, our happy way, and and was happy because we knew that they were going to supply everything that we needed. Now, why can't we be like that with God? Make our request to God and then rest assured that He will give us those things that we need. Not necessarily those things that we want all the time, but the things that we need, God will supply. And what is more exciting is that usually God blesses us far above that which we deserve. And so we don't have anything to complain about or worry about because we know that God is going to supply our needs and blesses us far above that which we deserve. There is security also in the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel of Christ defeats the power of sin. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And so we know then that the gospel is God's power to defeat the sin that Satan tries to throw at us, and the darts that come from Satan we need to ward off by God and by praying unto Him, and the security that we have in the power of the gospel. The Son of God came that He might destroy the works of the devil. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, "He who sinned is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil." So Jesus came into the world that He might destroy the works of the devil. Now we're told that these works of Satan, that we don't have to listen to those things, that we don't have to yield to those things. God has made a way for us to escape. Now if you'll turn over to the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading down at verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." So God has given us armor that we can put on, that gospel armor that will help us to recognize the fiery darts that Satan hurls at us, and helps us to put those things away. So when we put on the whole armor of God, then we rise up to fight against the sins of the devil in our own self, and also everywhere that we see the sin, we fight against that. We have the armor that God has given us, and that's what it takes to defeat Satan and his darts that he throws at us. Now turn over a little bit further in the Bible, over to 1 Peter, and let's notice a reading from 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, and begin with me down at verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 5. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But that God, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And so the security that is in the divine promises that God makes in his word gives us the strength to fight against Satan and all those fiery darts that come from him. The mighty hand of God cannot fail. And as long as we hold on to that mighty hand of God, we cannot fail either. We'll be there. We'll be doing the things that God would have us do and be pleasing to him. Now, by way of conclusion, we're all human and must depend upon Christ for salvation. We cannot give us the salvation ourselves. We're not able to do that. It had to come through God, through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We must cultivate certain elements in our character that will help us to beware and to recognize the darts that Satan throws at us. You know, sometimes these things that come upon us, we don't even recognize them as being from Satan. We do not recognize them as being the darts that are being thrown at us to cripple us or injure us in any way. So we need to cultivate certain elements within our character that will help us to beware and to recognize the darts of Satan as they're thrown. We must cultivate confidence in ourselves and avoid despair. Have confidence that we can do all things that God intended for us to do. God has not asked us to do anything that's beyond our ability to do. And whatever we can do, whatever God has assigned us to do, have confidence that we can do that and don't have to worry that we cannot do it. Cultivate patience so that we can finish the race. In 2 Timothy, let's turn to 2 Timothy and notice this reading. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where I'm turning. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and begin with me down at the 6th verse. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Here Paul talking to Timothy, talks about the patience that we need to have to finish the race that we have begun. Draw near to God in our daily prayer. We need to pray to him every day and draw near unto him. Depend upon the gospel power each day to save us and to lead us and to keep us in the right way. Daily trust the promises of God, which cannot fail. And the promises that God gave, it says that God that cannot lie made these promises before time began. Christ invites the lost sinner to obey the gospel and to share the assurance of the security in him, and how that we don't have to be worried, that we can serve him with gladness and not worry. I found a little poem that I have here that I want to read in closing that I think illustrates what we're talking about. It's entitled Prescription for the Blues, and it goes like this. One day when I was worried and feeling very blue, I read a small prescription that I will share with you. It said, when you are discouraged, and don't sit and fret and frown, but just get a piece of paper and write your blessings down. I thought that there's nothing that for me to write about. But long before I finished, my fountain pen ran out. So when we start talking about the blessings that God has blessed us with, before we get through writing down all the blessings that God has blessed us with, our fountain pen will run out too. Lesson is yours this morning. Serve God with gladness and don't worry. You know, all of us are prone to want to worry, and it's just hard to keep from worrying. And I think as I get older, the more temptation I have to worry instead of being the one that doesn't. Sometimes I think, well, my faith is just not strong enough, or I wouldn't be worrying about things like that. So let's not worry. God don't want us to. He wants us to be happy and serve him with gladness and not with worry. You need to obey the gospel. Why not come while we stand and sing together?